Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about being alone with God. Some folks would call this devotions, whatever you want to call it. Time alone with God is an essential element of the Christian life. We need not only to go to church and to join with other people in prayer and Bible reading and Bible study, but we need time alone with God. That's the time when we can examine our own hearts, straighten out our priorities for the day, lay our requests before God, and listen to what God might have to say to us. We need to practice solitude. For some of you, that may be literally impossible, depending on your living situation. Even if you have to use a closet or a bathroom or maybe the car in the garage, maybe you can find a solitary place. But if not, there is such a thing as solitude of spirit, quietness inside. Pause as you go up the stairs. Lift up your heart and say, "Thank you, Lord. Help me." If you're a mother, there may be many occasions when what you need to do is to kneel down in the kitchen with your arms around two little children and pray, "Lord, give me wisdom." Perhaps you have settled yourself very comfortably in your solitary room in a nice comfortable chair at 6 o'clock in the morning when nobody else is awake, you think, and you're just breathing a great sigh of relief that you have this time alone with God, and in comes one or two of your little children. And what do you do? You include them, of course. You don't send them away. My mother, of course, had a special quiet time after everybody had gone off to school. But if she had a young child at home who had not yet started school, that child was given to understand that, as a rule, Mama had quiet time and he was not to interrupt. But it goes without saying that a mother is always available if there's an emergency. I find myself often just lifting up my heart to God, which just means saying, "Lord, I lift up my heart to you." Maybe because he knows I've suffered some hurt, or maybe because a thought has just flown through my mind. Maybe it's because of something I want to thank him about, but in one way or another, I want to refer it to God. So I say, "Lord, I lift up my heart." And in certain churches, when the pastor says, "Lift up your hearts," the congregation responds audibly, "We lift them up to you." In the office, can you have solitude of spirit once in a while? Can you lift up your heart just in an SOS and say, "Lord, help me to be gracious to this difficult person"? These are just those little SOS prayers. But can you manage 10 or 15 unbroken minutes? First thing in the morning, to get your bearings, to plot your course under God's direction, and to take your position as His child, His servant. I would recommend that you keep a notebook handy and write down lessons that you're learning. Maybe there's one particular verse that has stood out in your Bible reading, or some sin that the Lord has brought to your mind that you have been struggling with. Why not make a note, just jot it down, and ask the Lord to help you to pray about that? Again, I'd like to read from A.W. Tozer's little leaflet, "Exposition Must Have Application." "Bible exposition without moral application raises no opposition." That's a memorable statement, isn't it? Bible exposition without moral application raises no opposition. It is only when the hearer is made to understand that truth is in conflict with his heart that resistance sets in. As long as people can hear orthodox truth divorced from life, they will attend and support churches and institutions without objection. The truth is a lovely song, becomes sweet by a long and tender association. And since it asks nothing but a few dollars and offers good music, pleasant friendships, and a comfortable sense of well-being, it meets with no resistance from the faithful. Much that passes for New Testament Christianity is little more than objective truth, sweetened with song and made palatable by religious entertainment. I'm afraid that's getting to be more and more the case. The truth of this statement, let me read it again, much that passes for New Testament Christianity is little more than objective truth sweetened with song and made palatable by religious entertainment. Many people have the idea now that worship means singing or listening to music. I would not eliminate those as possible forms of worship, but worship means a great deal more than that. And the highest form of worship is obedience, my personal, humble, daily obedience. It's easy to go and sit in church. It's easy to listen to some kinds of music. I find it very difficult to listen to certain kinds of music that we're subjected to in some churches. But the great thing is, what difference does it make in my life? Probably no other portion of scriptures can compare with the Pauline epistles when it comes to making artificial saints. This is A.W. Tozier. Now I'm continuing. No other portion of the scriptures can compare with the Pauline epistles when it comes to making artificial saints. Peter warned that the unlearned and unstable would wrest Paul's writings to their own destruction. And we have only to visit the average Bible conference and listen to a few lectures to know what he meant. The ominous thing is that the Pauline doctrines may be taught with complete faithfulness to the letter of the text, without making the hearers one whit better. The teacher may and often does so teach the truth as to leave the hearers without a sense of moral obligation. I have to pause over those words, because I am teaching on this program. It's my purpose to build up and encourage Christians and to call others who would like to be Christians to Jesus Christ. But do I leave you day by day without a sense of moral obligation? Am I failing to help you to see that it's no good listening to Elizabeth Elliot and Gateway to Joy and all the stuff that I read to you, which is so rich spiritually, without reminding you that you personally have to do something about it? And I'm speaking to those who are Christians and those who are not Christians. If you hear the Word of God, you have a responsibility. You have to do something. What are you going to do? The teacher may, and often does, so teach the truth as to leave the hearers without a sense of moral obligation. Now, if you would like some very sound, good scriptural help with your devotions, I would strongly recommend Scripture Union materials. Tozer says one reason for the divorce between truth and life may be the lack of the Spirit's illumination. Another, surely, is the teacher's unwillingness to get himself into trouble. And that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? I do get myself into a fair measure of trouble because of some of the things that I say on this program. I always want to emphasize that it is the Bible that is my guide. It is the Holy Spirit. It is Christ Himself, whom I trust to help me to be faithful to His Word, but also to help me to be a faithful doer of the Word that I'm sharing with other people. And there are some very tough things in the Bible that I just as soon skip over. I don't always skip over them, and I do get myself into trouble. Would you please pray that I will not be a teacher unwilling to get myself into trouble, but that I may be faithful to give you the whole counsel of God. Tozer says any man with fair pulpit gifts can get on with the average congregation if he just feeds them and lets them alone. Give them plenty of objective truth and never hint that they are wrong or should be set right, and they will be content. May the Lord guide you as you seek time alone with Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.